Namaste, it's Sahara Rose, and welcome back to the Highest Self Podcast, a place where we discuss what makes you your soul's highest evolvement. If it's your first time listening, welcome. My name is Sahara. I'm a best-selling author, host of this podcast for almost 4 years, and an ancient soul in a modern body, really on the soul mission to make spirituality accessible, grounded, relatable, and most of all, fun, because I think we're taking ourselves a little bit too seriously, especially on the spiritual path. So if you have come to this podcast, you are probably on a spiritual journey. Maybe you are just at the beginning of like, who am I? Am I more than this mind and body? Do I have a greater purpose? How can I find it? Maybe you're knee deep into your past lives or you're channeling galactic beings. Wherever you are on your journey, we're really all at this same place and time, because truly time doesn't exist and we're all in the ongoing process of awakening. So what I love about spirituality, and even the term spirituality, I feel like it's so nuanced, because the truth is we're all spirit, we're all souls having a human experience. And it's really this same oneness that we experience in different ways. So to me, spirituality, your highest self, is about being your fullest expression. It's not even about getting somewhere or this linear progression of I'm my lower self, now I need my higher self. It's not like a thing that's taller than you. That's at least not how I see it. I see it more as embodying your fullest expression of who you are and diving into the different paths that you may be interested in. I always say excitement is the breadcrumb guiding you towards your dharma, your soul's purpose. So we're all here to experience the full potential of who we are. And the beauty is the paths that resonate for us are going to be different according to our childhood upbringing, our past lives, our ancestral experiences, our karma, soul age, all of these different aspect is going to make maybe the path that is more exciting for you be different than the one that's exciting for me. And the beauty is it can also change. You know, I have gone through phases. I started practicing yoga when I was 12 years old. So I was very knee deep in yoga and then Ashtanga yoga, which then later took me into more Ayurveda. And that was really my practice and then brought me into more understanding my past lives. And that was a really big component, then ancestral healing and then divine feminine wisdom. And now discovering your dharma and joy as a pathway, womb awakening. So it's had all of these different flavors and textures that really brings us to the same source. And, you know, doing this podcast now for almost 4 years, by the way, did you notice the image of this podcast has shifted for the first time in 4 years? I have updated the image. I mean, I will always love the original Highest Self podcast image because it was actually an image taken of me by my husband before we were married on my 26th birthday at the Yogananda Lake Shrine in Pacific Palisades, California. And I will always love that image because it just really has this dreamy, ethereal quality to it. And it was such a beautiful gift for my husband on my 26th birthday to do a little impromptu photo shoot of me. But I've also shifted since then. I've shifted in the past 4 years. Some of you have been listening to this from the beginning, and for some of you, this is your first time hearing me. So welcome in this iteration of my life. But I have shifted and I wanted the image to represent more of who I am now. I feel like when I began this podcast, I still had this view of what spirituality looked like. You know, I have been an Ayurvedic practitioner and an Ayurvedic author, you know, for almost 10 years now. So for me, I wanted a place that I could talk about more than just Ayurveda and physical health and self-care and nutrition. This is how I started my career. I began my first blog, Eat Feel Fresh, in 2010. So 11 years ago, now that I've been doing this work, but I wanted a place that I could talk about more than physical wellness. I wanted to talk about past lives, spirituality, karma, your highest self, and all of these different aspects that were exciting to me that I felt like I didn't really have a space to explore. I felt like on my Instagram, I had to be the Ayurveda person because that is what people followed me for. And I wanted a place that I could just talk freely about all of the other things that I was personally just curious about. And I really wanted to listen to a podcast that had, you know, diverse audience members, more grounded, not so like this very white spiritual approach that we see in the mainstream audience, but one that is just more embodied and feminine and diverse. So that's why I created the podcast. And, you know, in the past 4 years of now almost 400 episodes and over 4,000 five-star reviews, which is just insane. I like cry every time I read it. Thank you. But I have shifted. You know, for me, spirituality, it's about being a multi-layered version of you with your textures and your shapes and your emotions. And I wanted the image to reflect that because sometimes we think like my highest self or spirituality is this like white, pure, light being, pristine version that is not me because, you know, I bleed with the moon and I sweat and I cry and my dirty human self can't be that. And I just believe that that's the polar opposite of the truth. I don't believe that we're here to like fill out our karma and do our lifetimes and get the hell out of here. You know, by Earth, I don't see that. I feel like Earth is the most incredible place to be. Like we have waterfalls, deserts, amazing people, amazing food. I love Earth. Earth is great. And there's so much more to experience than this three-dimensional plane. So I wanted the image to reflect that, the textures, the fun, the joy, the embodiment of being a soulful person, which isn't just disconnecting from your human form, but rather being fully engrossed in it. So I hope you like the new image. And I hope that this also gives you permission to shift and change and just know that discovering your dharma, your soul's purpose, it's not a one-time process. It's not like, okay, I'm here. I'm going to hedge my stick in the earth and not move. Like I've made it to Mars. I'm living my dharma. But it's more like a mountain range. You know, you get to that first peak and you realize it deepens and it spirals and you further understand more facets of yourself. And living your dharma just requires you to honor the truth of who you are at this time. It's not about being one version of you, but it's rather as you receive more information and unravel more facets of who you are that you take action and reflect your outer world to be a natural response of what is happening in your inner world. So you did not need my permission, but in case you're like, I feel like I'm shifting, but people expect this from me and I don't know if I can shift because I gotta stay what they want me to be. No, you do you, honey. Like you are here to grow and all Earth needs is the fullest, most embodied version of you right now. So don't feel afraid to change. In fact, you are meant to. You are not meant to be just be one brand. Or this is why I don't resonate with the personal brand because you're not a brand. You're not Coca-Cola. You can't do your branding one time and it lasts for 100 years. Like you are changing every single minute of the hour. So let your outer world reflect that. Like I'm going through a massive phase right now with like different colors. I used to wear more neutral. Now I'm wearing all these different colors. So let whatever is happening inside of you, let that change the art on your wall. Let that change the meditation you listen to. Let that change the music you tune into or the dance that you do or the practices that you do. You don't have to just like, this is my meditation practice. That's it. Like some people that resonates with them, it's a more masculine, rigid way of doing things. But for me, my daily practice or routine has like never been the same for 2 days. I mean, like today I just woke up and I just got on the podcast, you know, and I honor that. I honor my flows. So giving you the permission that you do not need to honor your flows. So I'm really excited for this episode because I actually have tuned into the guest Elizabeth April on other shows. I know she has been on Gaia before and, you know, for me, connecting with the galactic realm is something that has not been my natural forte. As mentioned, I'm super Earth. I have seven planets in Capricorn. I love the Earth, but I have been getting very into astrology, especially over the past like year or two. And just seeing how much these different planets affect us, like it is crazy. I mean, like me and my husband will have like a weird situation and we're like, oh, black moon Lilith. Like it's always those damn planets. They're ruining our lives. No, but they're also making our lives. We love them. But it's just insane to see how the movement of planets light years away can impact your energy on such a subtle level. So how can we say that these things don't make an impact? And also, how can we say that we are the only living beings in all of the galaxies? Like, our Earth is like one tiny grain of sand to the Earth. Like, imagine if you just picked up sand and you had it in your hand. Could you even count all of those grains? No, there's thousands. Now imagine all of the grains of sand on a beach. Trillions or quadrillions, or I don't even know the number for it. Very, very high amounts of small, small grains of sand. Now imagine in the entire Northern Hemisphere. Now imagine in the entire world, how many tiny particles of sand there are. Now, if our entire Earth is one of these particles of sand to the Earth, like think of that ratio. Like our mind can't even compute it because it's so colossal that we can't even imagine it. So if we are that small compared to all of the galaxies and universes and black holes that exist, how can we say for sure that we are the only living beings out there? And how can we even say that we know what a living being looks like? You know, how can we say, oh, if I don't see it with my five senses, then it can't exist? Because every single day, science is finding new waves that we have not been able to see before. You know, if you told someone 100 years ago, we're going to have this thing called the internet, and it's this like invisible Wi-Fi that anyone can connect to all around the world and can stream all forms of information and all ideas, information, books, everything is going to be accessible for everyone with this invisible wavelength called Wi-Fi, they'd be like, you are crazy. Like, burn her at the stake. But now this is normal. This is science. We have 1G, 2G, 3G, 4G, 5G. You know, we're probably gonna have a lot of G's. G unit. Shout out to that. So we're gonna have a lot of G's. And there's more. There's infrared. There's UV. There are microwaves. There are so many layers out there that we had not been able to see before that now science is able to say, oh, of course there's infrared. Of course there's microwaves. Of course there's radio waves. But before, if you tried to explain these things, they would say you're crazy. So I share this because sometimes we can go into galactic beings with like, oh, like eye roll, like there are no such thing as aliens. We even discuss like, do they like being called aliens or not? And we're also discussing more of like the energy of these galactic beings. This isn't like a debate, are there galactic beings or not? But Elizabeth April has a firsthand experience with connecting with these galactic beings, extraterrestrial contact. So in this conversation, we discuss all about that, her personal experience. Throughout her life, she really has been a voice for many, many years on connecting to these extraterrestrial beings. We also talk about different star families. I know that's a huge topic right now. Am I Pleiadian? Am I Sirian? Am I from Sirius A or B? And like all of these different star families out there and different textures that they have. And we talk about how, you know, sometimes that can be very helpful. And then also sometimes that can be our human mind trying to classify us into one category of like, I'm a Lyran and I'm only Lyran. And it's like, just like we are all of the doshas and all of the elements and all of the signs and all of the human designs, we're all of the things. So this is just another way that we can look at qualities. I see it like another archetypal system and relate it to different star families. And we also share our own stories. And I share my husband's story about the extraterrestrial contact that he had. So if you feel like you come from a star system far, far away and are longing for a place called home, which isn't on this planet, then this episode is for sure for you. So without further ado, let's welcome Elizabeth April to the Highest Self Podcast. And before we get started, I'd love to share with you this special offer. Do you feel deep in your soul that you have a purpose but are overwhelmed and confused about where to start? Are you a multi-passionate person who needs a clear focus and direction so you can truly make progress and impact this year? Do you know deep down that your highest form of joy is your highest form of service, but need clarity on how to make that your reality? Well, you're not alone. Our school system and society has not trained us to follow our intuition and honor our dharmas. In fact, it can feel like totally foreign territory. But the thing is, discovering your dharma is the most important work you can do. And without discovering our dharma, we will never experience true happiness, because happiness is the byproduct of living your purpose. I was where you might be right now, confused and overwhelmed about my own dharma, questioning if I even had one, if my dreams were just wishful thinking, or if my obstacles had happened to me for a reason because it was my opportunity to share them. And through my journey of deconditioning and unraveling and getting true with myself for many, many years, I finally got the courage to write my first book, second book, third book, my newest book, Discover Your Dharma, and help thousands of others discover their dharmas too. So I'm so excited to bring you the first ever course, the 21-day Dharma Discovery Journey. In this course, in just 21 days, in less than 10 minutes a day, I will be your Dharma coach, guiding you step by step on how to discover your Dharma. So if you're interested in learning more, head over to iamsaharrose.com/dharmadiscovery. Again, that's iamsaharrose.com/dharmadiscovery. The link is in the show notes, and I'm so excited to see you living your Dharma. Welcome, Elizabeth, to the Highest Self Podcast. It's so great to have you here.
Yeah, likewise. Very excited for our conversation today.
Yes. And the first question I'd love to ask you is, what makes you your highest self?
Okay, good question. I would say being in the present moment. And ultimately, that is definitely one of my greatest strengths, but also definitely one of my greatest weaknesses. And it's something that I have to bring myself back into constantly, which also allows me to be constantly authentic, because I'm always checking into my state of being. And I always know that if I'm, you know, extra triggered or a little bit edgy one day, it's because I'm not in that presence. So that's definitely the thing that always aligns me to my highest self.
So simple, yet so needed, you know, yeah. And it's just always this reminder. So you have an incredible journey that I would love to learn more about and share with our listeners. So can you tell us a little bit how you got into channeling and how you began communication?
Yeah, absolutely. So I really got started when I was a kid, and I was born with extrasensory abilities. I think a lot of kids really, truly are. You know, which just means that I was able to tap into other energies and frequencies. I was extremely sensitive and empathic, to the point where I wasn't able to really go out to public restaurants. I would take on everyone's energy. And, you know, my dad knew, right? It's like, hey, do you have to go to the bathroom? And it required a lot of purging, being in the presence of others. And I was also seeing ghosts and spirits. Luckily, my dad was very open to all of that. My mom was a little bit more kind of freaked out. And, you know, I was always the weird kid in elementary school. You know, it was very difficult for me to fit in, definitely feeling like I didn't belong there and that I was different, but I didn't know why. I think a lot of starseeds have been feeling that way too, especially in childhood. And then at the age of 10, I just shut off very consciously all of those abilities. And, you know, I just started playing sports. I just started doing the things that I needed to do to fit in. But that really led me to a lot of anxiety, a lot of depression, a lot of questioning, you know, who are we? Why are we here? Like, what's the whole point of this? For me, just living a quote unquote normal life wasn't going to cut it. You know, that wasn't good enough. And so at 16, I was really just kind of going through the motions, but also really depressed and anxious and questioning. And my questioning actually led my dad to offering me a past life regression. Believe it or not, as an engineer and as like a born and raised Catholic, he was also quite open-minded and very spiritual. And he ended up taking a course on past life regression when he was in university. And so at 16, in about an hour and a half, we went into about 5 different lifetimes. And in each one of those lifetimes, I was in a position to gain access to information and to give it to humanity to help them. I didn't know how I was helping or what exactly I was gaining access to, but I did know after that past life regression, a couple of things. One, reincarnation is real, and we are not just who we are in this present moment. We are the sum of all of our past lifetimes. And two, time is actually an illusion. It's simultaneous. Like, what, in an hour and a half, I can explore five entire lifetimes at the age of 16? What else is possible? So that really just kind of opened up the can of worms. When I went off to university, I ended up taking my dad's past life regression book. And that's kind of how I made friends in university.
Dolores Cannon?
No, his actual regression techniques.
Oh.
I took them. I copied them into my own book. And I started regressing kids in university without any sort of prior ability, knowledge, hypnotherapy work. I mean, that was probably really irresponsible of me. But it was also really amazing to be able to take people into a trance-like state where they can experience infinite number of past lifetimes. And, you know, that was kind of like my party trick, right, back in the day. And so it's really open, you know. The second I went away to university, I started to really just expand my abilities again. I had that freedom. And at a certain point in time, I asked myself, you know, it takes so long to get someone separated from their ego mind and separated from this current moment. And is it possible for me, instead of regressing them and putting them into a trance-like state, is it possible for me to regress myself into a trance-like state where I can see that person's Akashic records and past lifetimes? And when I started doing that, what used to take one lifetime in an hour and a half, now I can explore five or six lifetimes for an individual in 30 minutes. You know, it was just so much more efficient. And that's when I started getting into remote viewing and astral traveling. Oh my God, if I can tap into someone's past lifetimes or my own past lifetimes at will with my own conscious navigation, what else can I tap into? How were the pyramids built? Who was Jesus really? You know, these are all the things that my curious mind wanted to explore. So at that point, I was really open. One of the past lifetimes that I tapped into was I was a yogi in Burma. And, you know, I could like do a lot of really crazy things like defying the laws of physics and levitation and all of that cool stuff. And one of the practices that I used was Vipassana. And so I'm like, I got to find a Vipassana center. So I went away to a 10-day Vipassana meditation, a silent meditation retreat. And at that point, I was very open, you know, exploring a lot, downloading a lot, doing a lot of things. But if you asked me if I believed in aliens, I would probably laugh and say, I'm sure they're out there in the universe, but there's no way they're here on this like lowly third dimension planet. Like why? Why would they ever bother with little old us humans? And so believe it or not, on the second night of the silent meditation retreat, I ended up getting like fully consciously abducted by aliens, by interdimensional beings. And it was a very fear-based abduction experience. And, you know, I've been interviewed many times on what exactly happened, but it's actually not what happened. It's really what happened after. Once I got exposed to the fact that interdimensional life is not only possible, it's real, it's a thing, but that they're here, all of a sudden my questions went away from this physical reality and dimension and started going into other dimensions. So who are these beings? Why are they here? What is the point of their interaction with human beings? Like, what is their end goal? And that's when I started to basically channel and go into past lifetimes where I've been in interdimensional bodies in other dimensions on spaceships and planets. And I just took my prior knowledge and I applied it to the universe. So that was about 10 years ago. I'm 28 now. And it's just been, you know, the past 10 years of unpacking and exploring and really just trying to figure out what this is all about.
I love that so much. And I have so many questions. I'm sure listeners are like, wait, what? Here. So, okay, here is what I feel like a lot of people struggle with, including myself. I feel like we have grown up seeing, and by the way, do they prefer extraterrestrials or aliens?
Yeah. Really any term other than aliens is probably
not aliens. Okay.
Yeah. It implies that they're foreign, right, to this planet, but also mainstream. Sometimes I do use the word aliens because that's what mainstream, you know,
understands,
right? So,
So you say the extraterrestrials are here. Does that mean they are like just right next to us, just in a dimension that we can't see, or they're here in terms of, explain what that means?
Totally. So, I mean, it's in a variety of different ways that they're here and that we can perceive them here. Mostly what I reference is they have been interacting and engaging with humanity since the dawning of humanity. As a matter of fact, I believe that they are the missing link to our genetic evolution, right? But that's just my perspective based on my channeling. And I do want to mention too that I don't do any external research. I don't read any books. I don't watch documentaries on the stuff that I channel. And I was told that at a young age, not to do any external research in order to keep my perception as clear as possible. I'm already battling my 20-something year old self. I don't need to battle other teachers and their perceptions and their language as well. So I always like making that statement. And I also always like making the statement to your listeners, take anything or leave anything. It is always up to your own free will. And that way it just kind of like opens the door and say, you know, this is what I believe based on my experiences, and you don't have to be there with me.
I love that. So they're here just in different ways. So people talk about these different galactic beings, the Pleiadians, the Arcturians, the Sirians. Are these the same extraterrestrials you're referring to? I know you have said that you're a gray. Like, what are the differences between these star systems?
Mm-hmm. I mean, there is an infinite number of beings that are out there in the universe, right? There's never, you know, a limit to who's out there. I've seen them of all shapes, sizes, colors, frequencies. It's really vast. There are, however, some main species that interact with planet Earth. I'll kind of list off the main ones that I have a lot of knowledge in. And then there's other ones that are becoming more common, like you mentioned before we hopped on, the Arcturians, right? So the main ones that I mostly communicate with and kind of understand are the Palladians, the Angelics, the Greys, the Mantis, the Anunnaki, and the Reptilian. But then the ones that are really coming and interacting with this planet, the Sirians, the Arcturians, the Blue Avians, the Andromedans, you know, even the Yael, you know, are all kind of coming in droves to this planet. So there are kind of the main ones. And then there are so many others. And there's so many that I interact with that I have no idea what their name is. And I have to ask them what their species name is. And I have to describe what they look like every time I talk about them, because no one else knows who they are. And they're really beautiful too. So the majority of the species that I interact with are all here for unity consciousness. That's the easiest way to sum it up. They just want us to thrive. Up until this point in time, we have been suppressed, we have been repressed, we have been under the guise of corruption and illusion. And right now at this time, all of that corruption, all of that illusion, all of that projection is all getting exposed right now. And that's why things are collapsing and people are very afraid, because reality is shifting. So there are definitely other beings who are interacting with planet Earth and humans who are not good beings, you know, and it's very difficult to say all one species is good and all one species is bad. But there's also a frequency that these beings exist at. And most of the, say, for example, Palladians are high vibrational, very loving, very open. And say, for example, most of the Reptilians are lower vibration, greedy, service to self. But that is not to say that all Palladians are good and all Reptilians are bad, because that's like another species looking at human beings saying, oh, they're all bad. You know, there's some bad apples in the bunch. And that's too limiting. And I think for human beings and our own linear mind, we would love to say that they're good and they're bad, and this is what you need to watch out for. But it's not that simple, and it's not that linear out there in the universe.
So how can we know? I feel like this is such a human thing, but we're like, which one am I? Am I this? Like, let me take the starseed quiz, you know? Are there any telltale signs that you may, and I'm sure we're all of them in varying amounts, right. Yes. But are there any telltale like frequencies that really encompass different ones?
Oh, totally. You know, I've broken it all down in videos before, and I also have my own kind of like figure out your cosmic family quiz, right? Yeah. So let's just talk about maybe the main ones. Palladian, for example, Palladian and angelic frequencies are very, very similar. Angelics, a lot of the time, exist in the 7th or 11th dimension, and they're very out of body. If you're an angelic soul, like, you know how some people are like, oh, you're such an angel. Like, it's that earth angel energy of like always giving, always loving, always healing unconditionally forever and ever. But the problem is that what I've tend to find when channeling angelic souls in human bodies, as an angel, they're so used to having an infinite amount of energy and vibration from pure source because they're energy beings, they're etheric beings, that when they come into their body, they're like, oh, I'm capped on my energy. I only have a limited store of energy. So angelic frequencies tend to get sick very often.
Is Jordan Younger one?
Is who?
Jordan Younger. I think you've been on her podcast too. Balanced Blonde.
Oh, okay. Yes. Absolutely.
I'm like, she sounds like an angelic to me. She's just very etheric.
Yeah. Very etheric. Yes. So there's positives and negatives to each trait. I think it's really important that we understand who we are, at least a part of it, because like you said, we've really truly been all of the species out there throughout all of our past, present, future timelines. So it's difficult to say, this is who I am. And the problem with that is as human beings, we so desperately want to belong or fit in or feel like we're a part of something that I have seen people step into their cosmic identity and dismiss their human identity or attach themselves to a brand new cosmic identity. And it's like, no, 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 we're trying to be fluid with all identity. We don't want to get stuck into, well, I'm a Palladian and this is what I do as a Palladian and, you know, and then all of the rules and regulations and conditions within that. So we have to be careful with that. But say, for example, the Anunnaki, you know, Anunnaki hybrids or beings, and there's many different forms of hybrids. It's a lot of information. But Anunnaki, typically humans with higher percentage of Anunnaki DNA, typically they're just actually larger, like physically larger people. And they are like very kind of divine masculine. They're very like strong and structured and very much so like the pillar and like the supporter and very good at holding space, but also really loves knowledge and understanding like ancient relics and like different like scriptures and things like that. So yeah, so every
species, or like Viking people kind of like that?
Absolutely Viking. Okay. Yeah, absolutely that kind of vibe, right? So yeah, so it's really interesting to observe and to piece it all together, but also to constantly be checking in with your human and making sure that your human is being cared for. Because I went through about a 2-year period where I tried to kill or squash my ego. Well, all my pain and suffering is coming from my emotions and reactions. So let's just get rid of all of that. And by the end of that 2 years, my inner child was crying, saying, you don't care about me, you know? And I really had to go through that whole experience to understand the human is just as important as the frequency. It's just as important as the cosmic. And we really can't put one or the other in a hierarchy type of position. And since then, I've really kind of come into my emotions and surrendered to my day-to-day and the triggers and all of those things, because this is an experience that I came here to have, and I am so grateful for that.
I love that so much. So what are Arcturians like? People have told me I have an Arcturian face, mm-hmm. and like that they channel very ancient knowledge.
Yes, absolutely. You do have a very strong Arcturian vibe. Arcturians are interesting. A lot of them are like asexual, which means that they're like in the middle, like basically non-binary. They're in the middle between divine masculine and divine feminine, which also means they're extremely balanced. Their energy is very, very calm in relation to other beings. And they do love to deep dive into ancient knowledge and wisdom. And they love to figure it all out. Like they love the bigger picture. And then they have the ability to navigate through that bigger picture. I work with an Arcturian council, and I've been working with them more and more in the past probably 2 or 3 months because they're really coming in strong. And this council in particular works for the Galactic Federation. I'm sure there's many other Arcturian councils out there. This one that I work with only has about 4 or 5 Arcturian beings. And they are a timeline council. It's really cool. So what they do is they take a look at all of the most predominant timelines on planet Earth. And they basically relay knowledge to me in order to relay it to humanity about kind of what to expect and what's going to come down the pipeline and what to get prepared for based on the current timelines. Especially now, it's difficult to track down these timelines because humanity is in such a state of collective flux. You know, we're hopping in and out of different vibrations, different densities, different dimensions from moment to moment collectively. It's very difficult to kind of lock down any sort of timeline. But people nowadays, more so than ever before, kind of want to know what to get prepared for, kind of want to know where things are going. So the Octarians are really great with that. And they're also typically like shorter. And I find that, I don't know how tall you are, but I find that human beings with that Octarian DNA are also tend to be like just short little, you know, cute beings.
Yeah, I'm 5'4", so not that tall.
There you go.
Yeah, love that. And then what about the Sirians?
Yeah, Sirians. Okay. They've got a very similar vibration to the Octarians. I just spoke to a beautiful Sirian being, I guess, etheric being the other day. And it's also difficult to say because I don't have as much experience with the Sirians as I do with other beings. Difficult to say that the whole species is like this just because I had one or two conversations with, you know, because there's different personalities and whatnot. But they're very, I find the Sirians are very like kind of in your face with information, will not beat around the bush. You know, I find the Angelics and the Palladians are so empathic that they will like give it to you the way that you need it. Sirians, even Octarians are like, blah, this is what it is. Like, take it or leave it, you know, kind of in your face.
Phil Good is a Sirian.
yes, 100%. He's been bringing through the Octarian energy recently and it's been pretty incredible. So yeah, just also about knowledge and information and helping us along and kind of whipping us into shape. I find as a gray being, my origins are from Sirius, Sirius B, which is the planet that's kind of like my home planet. And so I've got a lot of that kind of Sirian Zeta gray type of energy. For me, the grays are all about like quantum physics, astrophysics, science, mathematics, understanding the way that the universe works and why it works. You know, it's like very, very, very deeply knowledge-based. And we love technology and gadgets and like, what's the next new thing?
Is Steve Jobs a gray? Was he a gray?
Oh, I'm not sure. I haven't channeled it, but I wouldn't be surprised. And Elon Musk is definitely an alien. I don't know what kind of alien he is. A lot of the time when I try and look at, because I have tried to look at like celebrities or presidents or what have you, they have a lot of energetic defenses and I get blocked from taking a look at their energy. And sometimes it's a good thing and sometimes it's a bad thing. You know, you can kind of feel their vibe when you tap in. So yeah, there's no more curiosity with those kind of people anymore. I just recognize them as I see them sort of thing.
Mm. So I want to tell you a little story and you can tell me what you think this was. I'm an Rh negative blood type, which I hear are a lot of alien people. Is this true, by the way? People who have negative blood types.
Yeah. I've always been really curious to sit down with all the blood types and channel which species is which based on our DNA. So I haven't done that yet. So I don't know which species is which, but one day.
Sure. I heard with, I don't know what percent, like a small percent of people have the negative blood type and they're not able to track them back to, you know, when we were all like monkeys and Neanderthals, that was a positive blood type. And then like suddenly this negative blood type just showed up and scientists today still can't track it. So people say it's like some extraterrestrial lineage. But for me, like I think it's like this fear. Like I've done quantum hypnosis healing technique. And every time I see like a galactic thing, I'm like, no, like take me to the mermaids. So, but I'm like surrounded by people who resonate with being extraterrestrial, including my husband. So When we first started dating, this is like almost 6 years ago, we were on the Big Island, which is known, especially in like the South where it's all lava. It's like known for like a lot of people go there for contact. And I was there before on a belly dance retreat and he came down and that night I heard him like kind of like mumbling under his breath in the middle of the night, but I thought he was sleep talking and I didn't think anything of it. The next day he's like, "Oh my God, like, did you see that?" I was like, "What are you talking about?" He was like, "There was this disc with lights all over it and it was on the floor and it hovered next to me, like right at my eyes length. And then it shot out the window. And then I tried to wake up and I had like sleep paralysis and I had like shivers on my body for like 30 minutes. And I like just felt so nervous and scared, but excited, but his body couldn't move." So I was like, "Oh, that's weird." Like, didn't really think anything of it. Thought it was just a weird dream. Then I see on his back, I'm like, "What's on your back?" He's like, "What are you talking about?" I'm like, "You have these like rashes on your shoulder blades." And I take a picture and we're trying to figure out what it is because it's shaped like honeycombs on both of his shoulder blades. It looks like when you go cupping and it's like suction cups, but on both shoulder blades in the shape of two honeycombs. So we're like trying to figure out, we're like, "Okay, what kind of bug could do this? It's way too symmetrical for like a bug bite." And then I'm like, "Maybe on the airplane, you were like leaning on something," but we were like, "Seatbelt, like that couldn't really do that." We're trying to figure it out. We start Googling like honeycomb rash and we end up on this extraterrestrial website where there are hundreds and thousands of people who had some sort of dream that was like similar to that or something of contact, woke up really startled and now have this exact same rash. So obviously something weird happened, but what I'm very confused about is why did he end up with these rashes on his physical body? Did they like take him with his body to test him? And he's very stoked about this. He's like, "I wish I could remember more," but what do you see?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, to actually like fully get the whole experience, I would have to tap into that. But a lot of the time when people have an experience like that and wake up with different markings, what I've channeled before is a lot of the time it's upgrades. So DNA upgrades, activations, sometimes they're etheric and energetic activations and upgrades. And sometimes it is the fact that they were taken to a ship and they were worked on up on the ship. And sometimes they're able to work on people right from their own bed. What I would recommend for him, especially if he wants to kind of deep dive into that a little bit further, is for you, if you know QHHT or whatever it's called, you should regress him back to that night. You should take him back there and re-experience that moment and take back the hidden, you know, memories that were lost. Before you do that, just make sure you're asking his subconscious or higher self if he's ready and prepared to see what happened, right? Because you may not ask permission and try and take him back and he just simply won't go there because he's not ready. So just ask, just get him into that trance-like state, ask him, see if that resonates, and then he can go there. And that's what I recommend, is him to re-experience that. And that's, it's always pretty cool. And I think part of the problem with people having abductions is they don't have all of the answers, and it creates a fear that is unwarranted because it could have been a really amazing experience, right? But you never know until you know. It's kind of ultimately that fear of the unknown. So I think it is important for him to figure that out at a certain point in time. And then if it is a very positive experience, which I feel that it is, and it was contracted at that time for both of you to experience that moment, I think that that's going to really kind of open you guys up to having more of those experiences moving forward.
Yeah. I mean, he also said when he woke up, he felt like he was in this chair that like shot back. So I was like, maybe they took him and he like woke up a little bit too soon and like saw them dropping him off or something.
Right. Yeah.
It felt very Matrix, like in that chair that, you know.
Right. Or Inception, right?
Yeah.
And so when me and my wife were staying in Joshua Tree in 2020 for like 4 or 5 months, she had Joshua Tree is extremely portal activated, high vibes. I would say even more so than Sedona, but that's just kind of my opinion. And so the one night, this happened twice while we were there. It was so wild. We were sitting in the living room watching TV and all of a sudden the light, it was like a motion activated light, starts flickering and it's so bright. So it's flickering like crazy. The blinds are open. So I'm like, "Babe, can you just like, this is kind of freaking me out. Like, can you close the blinds?" So she goes to close the blinds and every single like slot of the blinds, like they were like hanging blinds, they all fell. Like the second she touched them, they all fell and this light is flickering. And I'm like, okay, this is weird. Then all of a sudden Siri turns on her phone, which is, it's all shut off. Okay. Siri turns on out of nowhere, never happened before, on her phone. And what's in the search of Siri is ET. And the first thing that comes down under ET is extraterrestrial. So the blinds fall, the lights flashing, ET comes under her phone. We're looking at each other being like, what the hell is happening? Like we are, it's like all of these symptoms of like an abduction experience are about to happen. Then we got kind of freaked out, you know, and we went to bed. And that night she said, I didn't have this experience. She said that in the middle of the night, this green light comes down and it just envelops her. And there's this like bright kind of green light all around her. And as this green light was all around her, she literally felt like she was getting sucked up while falling backwards at the same time, right? This weird pulling feeling, which she later finds out is a very common trait of a physical abduction, right? And she said that she was like also paralyzed, but for whatever reason, in that moment, she was able to like reach out. And she like, I remember her like grabbing my arm and said, babe. And I remember her saying that. And I'm like, what is it? And the second that she was able to get out of that moment and she kind of like woke me up, the green light went away instantly. And that happened one more time. And when I tapped into it, it was an upgrade experience that she needed to happen, but it was too overwhelming. And it was funny because all of the weird, freaky things that were happening right before that were them, our cosmic family, trying to like prepare us and warn us this is about to happen to try and make it a little bit like easier for us. But it did the opposite and it just freaked us out like 10 times more, aww, right?
That's cute. So,
yeah,
you're like,
yeah.
How do we help the humans?
Yeah. How do we like inform
their
them?
Phone? They listen to their phone, put it there.
Yeah, just let them know like ETs are coming, like whatever. So, and then, you know, I didn't have to have that, the green light experience because, you know, I've already gone through the upgrades or whatever that she's about to go through. So then it happened like 3 months later and she allowed it to happen. And it was a beautiful, incredible, you know, upgrade experience. And it was something that should have happened 3 months prior, but I think the energy was a little bit too weird. And even for me, like I speak to aliens all the time, but I'm usually astral traveling up to their ship. I'm having telepathic conversations with them. Back in the day when I first got introduced, it was a lot more physical, a lot more like Palladian beings walking into the room and like visitations by mantis and all of those things. It's very difficult for them to come down from higher dimensions to this third dimension, very dense planet. But even for me, like those kind of very physical, like weird paranormal things are still freaky. Like you're still a human. You're still, you know, in a dark room, like thinking, what was that, right? Like you and your husband, there's still that logical brain that is trying to figure it out. And then once there's no logical explanation, then you go to the next level, which is, okay, cool. This has got to be some sort of like paranormal, etheric type of thing. Let's really surrender to it, right? So, yeah, so it's interesting.
We'll take a quick break so I can give a shout out to our sponsors. If you know me, you know I love two things, Ayurveda and natural skincare. So I'm always so excited when I can find an amazing Ayurvedic skincare company that smells really good because my husband always complains when I smell like herbs. So I was super excited to find Pavani Ayurveda. They are all organic, certified vegan, and cruelty-free, handmade by their small team of Ayurvedic herbalists in their Shakti-powered apothecary. One of my favorite products that they have is their Kanza wand. So if you're familiar with facial massage, this is actually the most ancient facial massage tool that predates the gua sha or jade roller. So I love just massaging the serums into my skin using the Kanza wand. It really gives you that glow, that definition. It helps relieve muscle tension and just makes your skin look so amazing. So if you're interested in trying it out, head over to pavaniayurveda.com and use discount code Sahara for 15% off. You can find that link and discount code in the show notes, and I'm super excited to massage your face with this beauty. If you're a High Self podcast listener and an Ayurveda lover, you probably already know how good turmeric is for the body, but maybe you aren't getting enough because let's be real, turmeric does not go with everything, but a really good golden milk latte, I swear, there is nothing like it. So I have the most incredible elixir recommendation for you, and that is Organifi Gold. It's a blend of not only turmeric, but also paired with ginger, reishi mushroom, lemon balm, and turkey tail mushroom. I love having it before I sleep. I'm someone who really craves desserts at night, but it allows me to have something that's warm and dessert-like without the excess sugar, so I can wake up feeling refreshed without the drowsiness or the stomach aches I get when I often eat late at night. So if you want to get your hands on some, head over to Organifi.com/Sahara or use coupon code Sahara for 20% off. You can find that link in the show notes. You know, a buzzword that has been showing up in the news recently that you have been talking about for a while is the Galactic Federation. So what is this?
Yeah, totally. So I was introduced to the Galactic Federation back in 2011, and I've been communicating with them almost every month since then. And essentially, it is just an organization, a group of many different interdimensional beings that are together to help the planet ascend, awaken, move into unity consciousness and a higher dimension frequency. The Galactic Federation, being an extraterrestrial organization, is really everywhere all over the universe. Sometimes they're called different things, like the Federation or the Federation of Light or what have you, but they're really just, it's all the same thing, an organization of beings coming together for unity and to help the rest of the universe abide by the laws of the universe, one of the laws being the law of non-intervention. So if any being or any species tries to override another species' free will, that's when the Galactic Federation will get involved. Back in the day when I first got introduced to them, I was studying global politics in university. And to be honest, I was kind of pissed that there was a Galactic Federation to begin with, because I'm like, come on, you guys are interdimensional, like 8th, 9th, 10th dimensional beings, and you still need to organize. You still need a structure. Like, you haven't figured it out. You still need a policing system. You still need a government. Like, what? Are you saying it never gets better? Like, count me out. You know, I was
like,
just
the,
so
the
against
UN
it.
Of
yeah. And understanding that, you know, the UN and these global, you know, non-government organizations, NGOs here are all corrupt. So I'm like, okay, cool. Like, so we're just dealing with another one of those, but they're much better. They're much better. There definitely is, you know, sometimes there's like double agents and like weird things that go on within the GFL, but ultimately everyone's intention is pure and aligned, you know, and there's like rigorous testing that you have to go through to become a member of the GFL. But I just want to make a statement. A lot of the people, probably a lot of your people, pretty much all of my people are all Galactic Federation alumni. Like, we all used to work for them. Then we volunteered our souls through that organization to come to this planet. So what was really brilliant about this Israeli man back in December who disclosed the Galactic Federation is that he didn't just say aliens exist. There have been other people and organizations and really, like, you know, well-known doctors and things who have disclosed that, but no one really takes that seriously. The second you're like, there's a Galactic Federation, which is an organization of these beings, it hits in a different way. And so when I tuned into that frequency, the message that came through, the GFL said, oh yeah, we've been talking to this man for quite some time. And there were many different timelines involved, but he disclosed it probably a year or two sooner than everyone was anticipating. Everyone up there was anticipating that he was going to disclose it. But what's beautiful about that is the words Galactic Federation are a trigger word, okay, to actually expand and unlock a DNA within us as human beings, unlocking that interdimensional DNA. So just to the average person who has never heard about aliens or anything before, here's that Galactic Federation is trending headline news, is going to actually shift, open up, and awaken an aspect, an element of them that has not been awakened before. So it's just, it's pretty profound, the effect that just those words are having on society as a whole. And I bet you a ton of starseeds have reawakened, or at least began to search for the answers since that disclosure in December of 2020.
Yeah. When I hear the word, I'm like, I want to be part of it. I want to be in on an Earth Galactic Federation, you know? And yeah. I also studied international development in college. So it's like, I think we had these memories of like a group of people coming together to help assist raising humanity. And then we realize, well, the existing systems on Earth are not that. We need to create our own. But what about the people who are afraid of these extraterrestrials harvesting our energy on Earth? What do you have to say about this?
Okay, so let's call that like another agenda that's at play. Like I have deeply explored all of the agendas that are happening on this planet. I started out with exploring the conspiracies, the government, the corruption, the reptilians, the shapeshifters, the harvesting of the energy, all of that. And it freaked me out. I'm like, okay, cool. Well, I guess we can't change things. Now I'm really excited to see the change. So what I have to say is that agenda has always been at play. Since the dawning of humanity, it's been at play. So I want to remind people who have just awakened in 2020 that this is not a new agenda by any means. This is not just starting. Things are not getting more corrupt. They have always been this corrupt. We've just never questioned the corruption. Now we're waking up to it. Now we're questioning it. Things aren't getting worse. They're just purging out to release. They're being exposed to release. That's it. They're not getting worse. We're just seeing them maybe for the first time and thinking that things are pretty bad. So it's important to understand what that agenda is and what they're trying to do so that we can be aware of it, not to get sucked into it. But the next step really is understanding the other agendas at play with the Galactic Federation, with higher vibrations. And then the ultimate agenda that we all need to go back to is it's not the corrupt cabal. It's not the beautiful light workers of the Galactic Federation and interdimensional beings. It's above that, which is pure source energy. That is everything and nothing that exists simultaneously and infinitely. It is the thing that created and runs through every single living incarnated thing in the universe, right? So if we go back to source and we understand that source created all polarity and duality to allow us to experience, then we're never getting caught up in the illusion of dark or light, right? And I keep saying, especially in 2020, to become a master of this reality is not to be all dark and all about corruption and cabal, but also at the same time, it's not to be all light. Just like I say, 5D frequency is not all butterflies and rainbows and beauty. And no, shit's still going to happen to you. You're still going to stub your toe. You're still going to lose your jobs. You know, you're still going to have to pay your bills in a new frequency. You're still going to experience duality. It's how you are able to perceive and navigate that duality that's really going to put you in a certain vibration or another. And we have to keep going to the highest vibrational frequency, which is always source in understanding duality is amazing. My shitty days are just as great as my powerful, empowered, you know, beautiful days, right? And really understanding the experience within that polarity and not really getting caught up in either paradigm.
I love that so much. And I think it's important because, yeah, so many people have woken up in 2020. And I, you know, especially at the beginning too, I've been down rabbit holes, but I went back down the rabbit hole, you know, and it's just like, you're trying to figure it all out and it could take you to really dark places. And then you're just like paralyzed and you can't take action. And you're like waiting for this like thing out there to save you. Like, I feel like a lot of people are almost like waiting for these extraterrestrials to come without realizing like we are the people we've been waiting for.
Exactly. And, you know, I get that question. So back in the day, like 10 years ago, I used to do like kind of like underground speaking, you know, engagements and whatever. And one of the main lectures that I would speak about is we create our own reality. Back in the day, I always got the question, well, why would God create so much suffering on this planet? And then it moved into slightly more conscious, okay, so why would aliens create this suffering because they're clearly in a higher place and they clearly have the technology to solve our suffering. So why would they let us suffer? Then you get into a little bit of a higher place being, okay, so we are the creators of this reality. Why would we create so much suffering, right? And once again, it's just to be in the mix of experiencing that polarity and duality. And based on the number one law within the Galactic Federation and just really within the universe, is the law of non-intervention, right? No being, whether it be for positive, good purposes or negative, bad purposes, no being is allowed to override another being's free will. So if in the entire planet and our entire community and collective is saying, no, we don't need help. We don't even believe in you, actually. So it's not even possible to get help. You know, and there's going to be no help. There's going to be no interference. We have to ask for it as a collective in order to create it and manifest it. So I keep telling people, if you want to interact with your cosmic family, if you want to interact with the Galactic Federation, if you need assistance and help in your own life, you have to ask. You can't just sit by and blame them for not helping if you're not even just asking. So it is really truly up to our own focus where we create our reality. And if you're not focusing on asking for help and being vulnerable in that way, it's just not going to happen. So I think that we are going to get intervention. We're already starting to get intervention because a lot of us have been waking up and asking for assistance and understanding that we have more tools in our backpack than just what we have been taught.
So do you think this intervention will happen like aliens, like land on the White House lawn, like something that has to be very like physical for people to believe, or do you think it will be more subtle?
Well, ultimately, I believe the intervention is already happening, and that's why we have so much upheaval, so much chaos. If there was no intervention, the systems would be the same, right? We would all be happy with whatever president we had, and we would all be very content and blissfully ignorant, you know? And people are upset and fearful right now because the old systems are purging and no one knows what's going to come next, right? So as far as like an intervention with, you know, a flying saucer lying on the, you know, landing on the front of the White House, it's not going to happen for quite some time, right? I mean, we're already seeing the CIA releasing all of their, or some of their documents, right? And that was linked in with the stimulus bill, which is pretty amazing. And then we're seeing the disclosure of the Galactic Federation. So we're already seeing this. Right now, they are testing the waters to see where humanity is at and how much further we can push the paradigm and push people into a place of being uncomfortable, because that's what it has to come down to. There's a lot of people that are still indoctrinated into religions, and religions have zero room for interdimensional life. I believe that the second that we as an individual come to the conclusion that there is life out there, it unlocks a huge amount of our interdimensional DNA. And if humanity were to do that at a collective level, I mean, watch out, world, we're ascending rapidly, which is what we're already starting to see. So if it was super apparent right now, humanity wouldn't be able to handle it, and there would be way more fear than anything else. So we need this very slow, casual, you know, hedging into the right direction rather than something that's very blatant that can really scare the people, especially at this time when fear is rampant.
So you mentioned those CIA documents, and there's something that I think a lot of us have heard of, but we didn't fully understand or dive into. So can you share with us what the CIA disclosed in these documents?
Totally. So I haven't read them. There was only one actual document that I read, and I thought it was really fascinating. So basically, in the very last stimulus bill with the pandemic in America, there was like this line or this sentence within the stimulus bill, and it said, within 180 days of signing this bill, the CIA has to disclose all of their UFO documentation, which is, I mean, that's wild, right? And that's actually what the Trump administration kind of gave us before the exit, which is kind of nice, is part of that disclosure. And so I tuned into it. I don't think the CIA is going to be disclosing everything. I think it would be a lot. But I also think that the underground, we call them the white hat government, you know, so the light government. So there's kind of like an underground shadow government, and then there's an underground light government. And these are physical people who are embedded within these powerful positions to help us ascend. I believe that they really pushed that agenda to have this, you know, be involved in this bill. So one of the documents that I read, and literally you can go to the CIA website right now and get a hold of all of these documents. It's pretty wild. Or you can watch a YouTuber go through the documents. The one that I read was this remote viewer who remote viewed or astral traveled over to the Galactic Federation spaceship that hangs out right outside of Earth's atmosphere that I've been talking about for a while. And he was relaying and even drew pictures of his experience of showing up in a room on the Galactic Federation spaceship. And I just thought it was really funny because this is clearly like a government-trained remote viewer. And he didn't really have, you know, nearly the amount of details that I typically get when I go. So I was kind of laughing, thinking, man, like he missed out on a lot, right, in these details. But it was cool, you know, stepping into the room and seeing, you know, explaining the different furniture and the different beings who were in the room. But he never had a full telepathic conversation with any of these beings. He just stepped in, creeped it out a little bit, and then went back into his body. But I thought that was amazing. And so many people sent me that document in particular, because that's what I do, you know, on a daily, if not monthly basis, is go astral travel, remote view over there and speak to them. And I can describe the room to a T, what it looks like, just because I'm in my astral body. So that was really cool. That was huge validation just for my own experiences to have that be documented in such a legitimate way. It was really awesome to see.
I love that so much. So cool. And I know that one of the documents was sharing how we basically live in a hologram, that we create our own reality and that manifestation and all of these things are real. So,
amazing.
But it's like interesting because they like released it and like most people just don't notice or talk about it, et cetera. And they're literally handing it to us. So it definitely is, it's going to take some time for people to like continue to see and see and dive more into.
And it could be like 5 years from now where a documentary gets released actually explaining and unpacking these documents, right? So it's just going to take some time, I think, for people to really sink into them.
So for people who are resonating with this and are wondering how they can also astral travel and meet their cosmic family, what do you suggest?
Yeah. So the first thing I want to just kind of make it known as is everyone has the capacity to astral travel, remote view, precognition, clairvoyance. I mean, everything that I can do, other people can do without a doubt. Like there's no like, I'm special. Like there's none of that. Like we're all so powerful. It's crazy. So that's just like a statement that needs to happen. And to astral travel, remote view, the thing is, right, people get so caught up in like, how do you do it? Like, what's the technique? How? And I kind of chuckle because I'm like, you're probably out of your body right now. You don't even know. So it's not how to do it. You're already doing it all the time. The real question is, how do we be aware of when we're doing it, right? So if you're on autopilot program, all right, in your body, you're just doing the things that you're doing. You're cooking dinner, you're answering emails, you're doing things that don't really require a lot of presence. So when your, let's call it like the ego self, the ego mind, that's just kind of based on prior experiences and knowledge, when that's just going and running on that autopilot and you're not really aware of doing the things that you're doing, you're not present, a lot of the time, especially for starseeds and lightworkers, our soul, our astral body starts to float away and go have fun in other dimensions and planets and whatever. People who do this often tend to have autoimmune disease, tend to be exhausted very often because they're just out of their body the whole time. People who tend to do this also have headaches very often, get very dizzy or lightheaded often, okay? And so we do this all the time. So how do you become aware of it? First of all, be more in the present moment, because when you're more in the present moment, then you can recognize, ooh, I'm feeling a little dizzy. Oh, I'm feeling a little off. Then you can sit down and ask yourself the question, where am I right now? And when I started doing this like years ago and sitting down and asking like, where am I right now? I would have a flash, just a very quick flash, or maybe it was a sensation or a feeling or emotion in my body that I would feel really quickly. It was hard to grip onto of where I actually was, where my soul, my astral body really was floating around in some sort of other dimension. And the other kind of tip that I would just make a mention of is lucid dreaming. when we dream, we get out of our body and we go to what I call different dream dimensions. We actually enter into different dimensions. And in that way, they are really, truly real places that we have created and constructed, similar to this, your living room being a real place that you've created and constructed. And so we can go back to those places in the dream dimensions. So if you start being aware and waking up during dream state, then that is a huge step forward to being comfortable with the astral body and what is possible within that astral body. Think about a dream that you had that you felt was so real, you didn't recognize it as a dream and you were just in it. That's what autopilot is here on this planet in this, you know, physical frequency. When you're just doing the things, you're just in it. You're just in life. You know, you're just in the present moment. You don't even recognize that you're in it. When we start to step away from this reality and say, oh, I created all of this. What else can I do? Oh, I put myself in this body. What else can I do? You know, but the second that you recognize you're dreaming in dream reality is the second that you wake up in that moment and anything is possible. The second that you realize and recognize that this is just another reality that we created like a simulation, is the second that we can change it and recreate it to be anything that we ever want, right? Anything that's possible. So practicing lucid dreaming is a fantastic step of getting comfortable with other realms, other dimensions, the astral realm, and just in general, being aware of being out of body and being aware of the visuals and the places and the things that we can do when we are in that out of body state. And same thing with trance-like state and quantum hypnosis regression, past life regression. What are you doing? You're in the present moment as your however old self, and you're literally traveling, getting out of your body and traveling to other timelines, other dimensions, other places, other lifetimes, right? So these are all things that we can do just to get comfortable in that realm and then stopping yourself when you do feel out of body. Like we say that all the time in the spiritual realm. Oh, you know, or within spirituality, I feel out of body today. Cool. Well, that actually means that you're out of your body. So where are you if you're out of body? Like, let's take it to the next level, right? Mm-hmm.
I love that so much. And what it made me think when you said, like, for example, in a lucid dream, if you wake up in that dream, you can do anything, you know, yeah. And it's more in that, like, you could jump out of a window and fly. We're not saying do that in this physical yeah. world. There still are laws of gravity over here. But what it made me think of is like, imagine if you could go back to your like 12-year-old self and like knowing everything you know now. I would be like, screw you, teacher. I'm not going to do this. And it's like, back then that didn't even seem like a possibility. It's like, no, homework is due tomorrow. Like I need to do the homework. But yeah. Now knowing what you know now, you could have made so many different decisions. And like that fear that you had actually was not there. Like there were so many other timelines that we could have taken if we knew what we knew now. So it's not just like this weird, like metaphysical thing. It's actually you in 10 years from now has truths for you right now that if you knew the very things that you are worried about, you would be laughing over because it's just an illusion.
So let me give you a good example. So this is something that I'm in the midst of exploring at a very, very deep level. And I'm not going to get into half of it because it confuses me, right? And I'm talking like quantum physics. I'm talking like simultaneous time experiences. It's pretty wild. So a good experience I just had last night, me and my wife are car shopping right now. Our car broke down. It's like, you know, 10 plus years old. So it's about time. And we're really in between two different cars. And so we were just talking about today, we're going car shopping and we were just talking about, you know, the one that we want and we really want it for like a family and like future and whatever. So in that moment when we were talking about it, really just 50-50 between these two different cars, I got a flash forward, all right, because I used to get flashbacks into past lifetimes. I got a flash forward. It was about it was probably like 8 years from now. And it was a flash forward of the car that we got. And we had kids in the car. It was like a, you know, a truck or SUV or whatever. We got kids in there. It's all dirty. Now it's old. It's like 8 years old, right? And it wasn't the car that I wanted. It wasn't the one that I was expecting. So I'm like, oh my God, like I just saw our future. I saw the one that we wanted. So I didn't tell her which one it was because I wanted her to also be like open in her perception. And then this morning she comes to me and she's like, yeah, I think it's going to be the Forerunner. And I'm like, that's the one that I saw us in, you know, 8 years from now, right? So we were like kind of laughing about that. So tapping into timelines, you know, it's just, it's so wild what is possible and what we can do. Tapping into your childhood self and then tapping into yourself 10 years in the future. It's just, it's infinite possibilities. It gets a little weird. I'm just going to say it. But also just because you're tapping into that timeline doesn't mean that that's the timeline that you have to walk through. And that's where we get glitches in the matrix. And that's where we get the Mandela effect. When the collective agrees upon one timeline, and then all of a sudden we agree on something that happened already, but we switched the choice that was made collectively. And all of a sudden everyone's recognizing the two different choices, the one that's in this current reality and the one that used to be in this reality. And they're like, hey, what's going on here? I remembered this differently, right? Mm. So it's really wild. This is totally something that I love, but it's extremely difficult for me to explain because it's so, it hurts the brain. Like it really does.
Is there an optimal timeline or are they all neutral?
I would say there is a scale of the most optimal, but it also depends on what your perception is of optimal. So if we were to define the most optimal timeline within humanity collectively, it would be unity consciousness. That's the most optimal timeline. And then there are many other timelines that kind of creep in and sub timelines and all of that that come together. And it's difficult to kind of lock down, especially when we've got counter forces on this planet trying to take us off that most optimal timeline. But hey, we've got the numbers, we've got the consciousness, we co-create this collective reality. Like, let's go, like, let's wake up, like, let's rally people together for unity, for free will, for that collective consciousness, I think. And we're doing it, you know, we're in a really great place right now. And anytime I tell people that I'm very excited about what's happening, whether they be spiritual or not spiritual, they give me a funny look. Because even within the spiritual community right now, there is so much fear about the New World Order and the cabal timelines and what have you. And like I said, it's not getting worse. It's just the plan that they've always had. So let's stop them. We can. We've got more of us than them. And we are just as powerful, if not more powerful than them. We are all hybrid beings in our own right, you know? So we just got to step into that and get away from the fear a little bit.
Mm. So I have I could talk to you forever, but one thing that I'm wondering, so we're all heading towards unity consciousness. And some say the light has already won. Like this already has happened. It's just a matter of which timeline and how long it's going to take to get there. But what I see occurring is this shift, even in the conscious community, of moving towards more technology or more Earth. Like we have the people who are like going off grid, making their own communities, like going back to these very like simple plant-based times. And then we have like the Elon Musks or people who are wanting to merge with AI. And it almost feels like a battle between the two. So how can we have unity consciousness if people are splitting into these different polarities?
Absolutely. Like you said, even within the conscious community, there are so many different like sub-communities that are popping up. And for me, it does make sense. We want to go into unity, and yet we're all trying to define ourselves within one community. Like, it just baffles me. But it baffles me about the whole LGBTQIAZP community as well. I'm a part of the gay community. And I'm like, they're like, oh, so you're bi now or you're gay now. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm just fluid. You know, I just love who I love. And there's shouldn't why put a label on me? You know, but it's the same thing with the spiritual community. So it's been difficult for me to navigate in that way as well. Just seeing so much polarity within such a conscious community, it just baffles me. But yeah, like I would say bringing elements together for everything. There are so many people wanting to go off the grid. I want to go off the grid, but I want to go off the grid in the most eco-friendly, high-tech way possible. Not that I want to merge with AI anytime soon, but we can't be scared of development. We cannot be scared of growth. And I just want to make a statement. At the beginning of this year, we were all pretty freaked out about a lot of things. And hopefully we're in a much more neutral place. But one of the things was 5G technology. And it is no surprise that during the pandemic, 5G technology has been pushed in our face. The amount of ads that I get on 5G is just, it's never before. I've never noticed before. You know, it's never been like that before. So it's very, very peculiar. And I was freaked out. And I asked the Galactic Federation, I said, guys, like, tell me, please, like, should we be burning towers down? Like, just say the word and like, I am out there with some gasoline and like, I will like rah, rah all day about it. And so they laughed and they said, it was so interesting. They said, well, Elizabeth, like, what do you think our technology is? You know, what kind of radiation do you think our technology, propulsion technology, plasma technology gives off? It gives off an astronomical amount of radiation to the point where when we started to interact with human beings, you guys started dying en masse because the radiation was too much for your bodies to handle. So they said, we didn't stop our development because of the radiation. We just grew into solutions around it. And they said, that's what's going to be coming out on your planet. It doesn't mean you have to burn them down or stop your evolution. It just means you have to bring up solutions to help save you guys. And it's the same. So that was so profound for me of, oh, there shouldn't be any fear around this. This is a part of our evolution. We can't fully stop it. And it's not just the cabal's plan to put that out there to kill us off. It's not just about that. It's actually about growing and developing. Now let's find the solutions around that. And maybe right now the solutions are orgonite and, you know, shungite and different, you know, crystals and what have you that we have available to us. And eventually maybe it's like a dome that we put ourselves in. I don't know. But we do have interdimensional beings like myself who have come down here at this time to bring solutions to problems like that in particular. So yeah, so I mean, there's a lot of things going on, but we need a little bit of both. We need to get back to our roots. We need to get back to community. We need to start really like planting on the land and utilizing our resources. But at the same time, we do need to be advancing. And the next huge leap for us is to be off planet and to explore other, you know, galaxies. And I don't think that that should be a fear-based thing. It's just something that we can really navigate in an appropriate way.
Mm, I love that so much. And I feel the same way. So many times I'm like, bucket, I just want to live at it by a waterfall and like just eat fruits naked outside and be one with the jungle and like really feel that. But then I'm like, you know, growing your own food is no joke. Like that is a full-time job. And there were reasons why we've stepped away from each person needing to grow all of their own food and like have to survive, because it takes your focus away from doing other things. The reason why we can have this conversation, I'm not even just talking about the technology for this conversation, but even just the space and the awareness to have this conversation is because we have our survival needs met. So I feel like so many of us, we are so focused on the shadow repercussions of technology and societal growth and all of these things that we think the growth is the problem, whereas it's just having more conscious awareness around it. And then you can actually live off grid with hydroponic solutions and all of these different things that there was a reason why we grew out of this, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. And I've been saying that actually in 2020 is to be able to expand our consciousness and to think outside of this reality is a luxury. It's a luxury. That right there means we have all of our needs met. For you to be able to have time in your day to just contemplate life, that's a privilege, right? There are so many developing countries out there that are just surviving to get water every day. So could you imagine getting all of the rest of the countries out there, you know, their water needs are met, their shelter needs are met, their food needs are met. Wow, like that's when we really advance, right? So we have to understand the privileges that we do have based on technology, based on what society is allotting us, and really be grateful for that and bring it back down to the basics of, wow, what a great position to be in. All your needs are met and now you can just think about life. Like that's incredible, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that the more and more we kind of up the standards in all of these other countries, I think the more and more we can come together with that unity. So that's something that we need to be kind of projecting and creating as well, is the ability for everyone to have their needs met all across the board. And even in the Western worlds, just to not have to slave away in a 9-to-5. And honestly, I'm so grateful for 2020 because a lot of people lost their jobs, but a lot of people recognize that they can have their own business, make their money from home, and not have to go into an office and not to have a stressful management position or whatever it may be. And there's liberation involved in that. And I'm grateful that people had to go through that shift and that change.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And more people right now are questioning, what is my dharma? What is my purpose? Why am I meant to be here? That, you know, they wouldn't have, again, had the space to even come up with that idea because they were running on the autopilot. Yes. So it all needed to happen, though sometimes the most up-leveling times in humanity are the most painful and difficult and tumultuous, but that's what calls us to action.
Yay.
Exactly. Well, I could chat with you forever. And where can listeners learn more from you?
Yeah. So just Elizabeth April across all social media platforms. If people are really struggling with their triggers, their reactions, their attachments at this time, I do have a course out there. It's an 8-week long course. It's called the 3D to 5D Shift Masterclass. It's had amazing results all across the board. That's something that will kind of hold your hand through the process of shifting and awakening and really supporting yourself and your own growth. So that's kind of what I recommend for right now. And then I've got my first book releasing officially in April at some point. So that's going to be really exciting. And it really goes over all of the steps and all of the stages of your own awakening journey, which is just super validating of, oh, cool, I'm not dying, I'm just waking up. And that's actually the name of the book.
Cool. I love it. I can't wait to read it. Well, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us today.
Thank you so much. Such a pleasure.
I absolutely loved that conversation. I hope you did too. It feels so good to sometimes just zoom out of our very small present world reality where problems can feel so big, right? You're just like constantly thinking about this one very human problem you have, and you zoom out, you're like, oh wow, like I am not even the only living being in this galaxy. So how big is my problem really? So sometimes it's helpful to just zoom out and see things from a more galactic perspective. And it actually can bring about great healing for you to connect to these higher realm beings that now so many different scientists from Dr. Joe Dispenza, Deepak Chopra, and many others have been able to show that when we are connecting in high levels of meditation using heart coherence, we're actually connecting to these unseen beings who are performing psychic surgery on us, meaning they are up-leveling us. They are giving us upgrades, but all we need to do is just get to a higher vibration state to connect to these beings. So it's so incredible. I mean, we're really still at the beginning of understanding this, far, far, far beginning. And we are able to have a direct experience and not wait for an establishment to tell us, okay, you can believe this or not believe this. Aliens are real, they're not real. We can have our own direct experience. So if you are curious about this, resonate with this, I suggest you meditate and ask for guidance from the galactic beings that have your highest good, that are seeking to connect with you. Maybe do some automatic writing, some free flow journaling on it and see what comes through. And I'm excited to see your experience. So if you want to dive in deeper into your soul mission on this planet, the reason why you incarnated here and how you can live your fullest purpose, then come join me in my 21-day Dharma discovery journey. You can find that link in my show notes. I am saharrose.com/dharmadiscovery. If you loved this episode, I would love to send you a free gift, which is the first half of my unreleased book, Eat Right for Your Mind Body Type. This is a different book than Eat Feel Fresh, my first book ever, which is not released anywhere. And I am gifting it exclusively to those who leave a review of my podcast in the iTunes store. So all you got to do is head over to iTunes, where you may be listening to this podcast, and leave a review. Take a screenshot that you've left it and email it over to me at sahara@eatfeelfresh.com. Again, that's Sahara, S-A-H-A-R-A, at eatfeelfresh.com. And I will send you back the first half of my unreleased book, Eat Right for Your Mind Body Type, which goes all into Ayurveda, doshas, plant-based nutrition, body types, all of the things in a really fun and engaging way. So this is my gift to you for free for supporting the podcast. Every single review I personally read, it really helps the podcast be listened to by more people so we can raise the vibration of the planet together. And I am so grateful to have you on this journey. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you on the next episode. Namaste.